I would like to commence by thanking the eldership of this congregation for bestowing upon me this opportunity to declare the righteous word of God. I also would like to thank the congregation at large for their support of truth, of preaching the gospel, and may God continue to grant you more years in this community to do so. If you have your Bibles, I would like for you to turn them to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 25. And we will be noticing this morning verses 31 through 46. We will also note briefly as well the epistle written by James, the fifth chapter, verses 19 through 20. These are the texts that were given to me to analyze, scrutinize, and together as a body of Christ, we shall examine what the Lord has in store for you and me. The light of the gospel that is shown in the minds and hearts of God's people sadly grows dim in today's generation. The squall of influential humanistic practices and teachings has darkened the volition of Christ's vanguard. Consequently, the gods of avarice, ignorance, deception, and self-satisfaction, culminating in pride, are worshipped and sacrificed to daily. With sadness, the final day of analysis will ultimately reveal the contenders from the pretenders. The pretenders are a caste characterized in the Bible as those who allowed the pressures of this life to mold and shape their comportment. Many within the camp of Christ, and I want you to underline that because this is a fact. Many within the camp of Christ will fall victim to the pretender side as revealed in the parable of the wheat and the tares. For the Bible aptly describes in Matthew 13:41, as Jesus explains the meaning of this parable, when he says that the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom. What, Lord? All things that offend. The word offend simply characterizes those individuals within the Church of Christ that arouse prejudice, that become a hindrance to others in their spiritual walk, or causes them to fall by the way. Not only will the angels gather out of his kingdom all of those individuals that meet and fit that bill, but also them which do iniquity. And the word iniquity simply means lawlessness or unrighteousness. And so it is with great importance that as God's people, we engage in the aspect as described by the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 13, wherein the Apostle Paul describes or stresses the importance of giving, first of all, attendance. And the word attendance simply means to take or give heed. It was a word used of the priests of the old who gave attendance to the altar and the seriousness of that charge. So Paul says, give attendance to first reading. And the word reading has reference to accruing knowledge or recognition. Second, he says, give attendance, give heed to exhortation. that is to console or comfort one another in view of our grief that we face in this world. Thirdly, the Apostle Paul says we ought to give attendance to doctrine. And the word doctrine here simply means to provide instruction and training with the implication of some skill in some area of practical knowledge. Literally, it has reference to practicing what you preach. The denizens of heaven will be made of those whose lives projected all of the commandments of God to a soporific world. Paul had not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God, Acts 20 and 27, so that we who would follow after his stead may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 12. The commandments outlined in the Word of God are not there to fill in blank space, but were given so that you and I may engage them, may practice them, and ultimately become them. For the Bible says that each of us will one day give an account of the things that we have done in our body, whether they be good or evil. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14, "For God shall bring every work into judgment, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Along the same vein, the Apostle Paul says in Romans 2:16, "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men according to my gospel by Jesus the Christ." Yes, God will render to every man according to his deeds, Romans 2:6. Every man will be judged according to their works, Revelation 20:13 and 22, verse number 12. It is then no surprise that Paul, by inspiration of God, publicized the importance of Christ's people to be zealous of good works, Titus 2:14, to be ready to every good works, Titus chapter 3 and verse number 1, and finally, to maintain good works for necessary uses, Titus chapter 3 and verse number 14. So what does that tell you and me? That tells us that Christ expects a working class citizenry rather than an indolent force. For the Bible elucidates that faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone, James 2:17. For by works is a man justified, and not by faith only, James 2 and verse number 24. Just because you say that you are a Christian, just because you say you are a member of the Church of Christ, just because you say you are a follower of the Word, does not mean anything until your words become actions of obedience in this life. One of the important works mentioned throughout Scripture, and which draws special attention to the second coming or the second advent of Jesus Christ, is that of rendering, here it is, physical assistance to those with special needs. Romans 13 and 13 states this, communicating to the necessities of the saints given to hospitality. Listen to what Paul says and elaborates more on this point in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 10. When he says, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us work that which is good toward all men, and especially toward them that are of the household of faith." This brings us to the text of the hour, Matthew chapter 25, 31 through 46. But before we proceed to that particular scripture, I want us to look at another scripture that parallels the thought of Matthew. And it is a thought found in the epistle of James, chapter 1 and verse number 27. And I want you to turn there, and I want you to look at the words that are being used by James when he says that pure religion, The word pure has reference to sincere or genuine. Christ is looking not for the feigned Christians, but he is looking for those that are genuine in their faith. Genuine in what? In their practices. And this is what the word religious means. So here we have genuine practices and undefiled. The word undefiled there simply means morally clean. It has reference to not harboring secret motives. Not harboring secret motives. We'll discuss this as the lesson progresses. So pure, sincere, genuine practices and morally clean before our God and Father is this, to visit. And the word visit has reference to those that examine with the eyes, to those who care for, to those who provide for, not only with words of encouragement, but also monetarily, to go to see one. Who? The fatherless and the widows in their affliction. The word affliction has reference to oppression, trials, perils, and distress. James says, pure religion and undefiled before our God is this. We are to go and care for those that are grieved with affliction. Now, as we carry back our thoughts to Matthew 25, the thought in Matthew 25 extends our work of care and provision beyond the scope of James 1:27. The message of Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46, is that the underpinning of salvation will come to those who had a magnanimous spirit in seeking to aid those that have hit the nadir or the lowest point of their life. The sheep are characterized as those, as the Apostle John stated in 1 John 3:17-18, but whoso hath the world's goods and beholdeth his brother in need and shutteth up his compassion from him, how doth the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word only, neither with the tongue, but in deed and truth. The sheep are going to be those that will not withhold or shut up compassion from those that are in need. By contrast now, Jesus speaks about the goats. The goats are those that are characterized as offering lackadaisical responses to the afflicted. The goats are characterized as those who have employed a sinecure way of living. That is to say that they do not care about their brethren or those that they come in contact with on a daily basis. Sadly, the Bible says the goats shall go away into everlasting punishment, Matthew 25 and verse 46. But Jesus shall say to those on the right hand, his sheep, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Matthew 25 and verse 34. Brethren, what will your epitaph reveal on the final day of analysis? What will be said of your life? Will your epitaph reveal this inscription? Beginning at verse number 35. For I was hungry and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and he clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me." When we stand before the mighty God, he's going to ask of us, did we do these things? And invariably someone will ask from the crowd, "Lord, when did we see thee hungry? Lord, when did we see thee thirsty? Lord, when did we need to give you a drink? Lord, when did we see thee a stranger? Lord, when did we see thee naked? Lord, when did we see thee sick or in prison?" And the Lord will respond to them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it unto one of these my brethren, even the least, you have done it unto me." Contextually, this particular passage falls on the heels of the parable of the 10 virgins and the talents. In order to understand this particular passage of Scripture, we have to look at it contextually. Where is it found at? And so as we look at the parable of the 10 virgins and the talents, and we look at the meaning of these parables, we will note that each of these parables likens them unto the kingdom of heaven, those that will receive heaven as their home. In reading these parables, the heart of each parable has reference, and here it is, underline this. It has reference to the dangers of those who are slothful, those who slumber, those who are busy taking a siesta, those who are busy taking a snooze, those who are busy taking a catnap from the business of the Lord. Did you know that we are in a great business? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:9 that we are laborers together with God. 2 Corinthians 6:1, the Bible says that we are workers together with Him. Because of the failure to provide oil, the 5 foolish virgins failed to light up the world. And because that person whom was given a talent did not use what God had given him, the Bible says that individual was cast into the utter darkness where there should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In the United States, we have been given a great responsibility, and each of us in here cannot claim that I don't have enough or I can't do enough. It would be a blessing to you if you can go and visit brethren from third world countries. And you will note there that in their culture, even though they don't have enough, they still treat you as kings. And so to make the excuse that I don't have the abilities, I don't have the resources, is inexcusable. What it boils down to is laziness. So because of our failure to light up the world and to use what God has given us, which is to help mankind, brethren, we have to understand that the world's most precious commodity, which is the soul of man, is jeopardized. When our brethren and those in the world are hungry and we are oblivious towards their starvation, what we have done is failed to give them sustenance for the spiritual journey. John 6:51, Jesus says, I am the living bread which came down out of heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Yea, and the bread which I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. When our brethren and those in the world are thirsty and we are unconscious towards their palate tongues, we have failed to slake their spiritual thirst. John 4:13-14 says, Jesus answered and said unto the woman at the well, every one that drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up into eternal life. When our brethren, those in the world, are strangers, and we are unmindful of their estranged condition, we have failed to give them solidarity among God's elect. In John chapter 4, verse 21 through 26, here the woman at the well who was a Samaritan, a stranger, in the eyes of the Jews, Jesus approaches her and says, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall ye worship the Father. Ye worship that which ye know not, you worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for such doth the Father seek to be His worshipers. When our brethren and those in the world are naked, and we are reckless of their provisions, what we have failed to do is to give them status and honor in the circle of life. I am reminded of that account in Luke chapter 8 and verse number 35, when that individual was filled with demons. And the Bible tells us that that individual was grieved because of that demon that lived within him. And the Bible says in Luke 8 and verse number 35, and they went out to see what had come to pass, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons were gone out, sitting, clothed, and in his right mind at the feet of Jesus, and they were afraid. When our brethren and those in the world are sick, and we are insensible to their lowly difficulty, what we have failed to do is to give them security and hope for the future. In John chapter 11, verse 21 through 26, when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, the Bible says that he went immediately, or not that he did not go immediately, he waited for a while to show and to prove his power. But the Bible says here that Martha therefore said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And even now I know that whatsoever thou shalt ask of God, God will give thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth on me, though he die, yet shall he live. When our brethren and those in the world are in prison, and we are unacquainted with their loneliness and isolation in that 12 by 12 concrete slab walls, what we have done is failed to give them scope of their predicament and purpose of life. I recall the instance where John the Baptist was in prison. And the Bible says in Matthew 11, 1 through 6, that John sent some disciples to Jesus to ask him if he was the one that was to come. The Bible says in verse number 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good tidings preached to them. Jesus was concerned about John in prison. So what's the problem? The problem with many in the church today is that many just do not care about the welfare of their brethren and those in the world. I'd rather be sitting at home watching a football game. I'd rather be sitting at home playing a game, board game. I'd rather be doing something else rather than watching out for the spiritual welfare of my brethren and those in the world. How sad. We have many in the church that are only concerned about themselves and no one else. They are only concerned about me, myself, and I. And everyone else with problems or concerns can take a hike. If your life fits this bill, there is coming a rude awakening for you. For this is not the message brooded by our Savior in life and speech. For Jesus said and practiced this message in Luke chapter 14, 26, when he stated this, listen carefully, brethren, friends. If any man cometh unto me and hateth not his own father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters. Listen to that. If a man does not hate even his own life, what? He cannot be my disciple. Look at the life of Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. God in the flesh did what for you and me? Was born in an humble manger, grew up by humble means, and died innocently between two malefactors. Jesus paved the way in which we should direct our lives, and that of being a servant. Philippians 2, 6 and 8 says, who existing in the form of God, counted not the being of on equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant being made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto the death, yea, the death of the cross. A story is rehearsed this way. A gentleman by the name of Sir Ernest Shackleton was asked to tell of his most terrible moment in the Arctic. Shackleton said that one of his worst nights was when he and colleagues of his were in an emergency hut. He says that he and his fellows were lying there. And then Ernest said that he parted from the rest. Ernest said that they had given out the last ration of biscuits to each person. There was nothing more to divide. And then suddenly every man just wanted to fall asleep, and everyone did fall asleep. But not Ernest. He stayed awake for a moment. Ernest said that he sensed a stealthy movement and saw one of the men turning to see how the others were faring. He made up his mind that all were asleep and then stretched over the next man and took his biscuit bag and removed the biscuit. Shackleton lived through an eternity of suspense. He would have trusted his life in the hands of this man. Was he turning out to be a thief under terribly tragic circumstances, stealing a man's last biscuit? Then Shackleton sensed another movement. He saw the man open his own box, take the biscuit out of his own bag, and put it in his comrade's, and returned the man's biscuit and stealthily put the bag back at the man's side. Shackleton said, "I dare not tell you that man's name. I felt that act was a secret between himself and God." It is time, brethren, that Christians be less concerned about their welfare and start regarding the interest of others as more important. If we could accomplish this feat, more souls would be won for the cause of Christ. But why is it that many are inept when it comes to benevolence? The answer is this. It is found in Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 19. It is that many have yet to fully absorb the mindset of Jesus Christ. Galatians 4:19 says, "Until Christ be formed in us." If Christ is formed in us, this is what our lives will reveal. First of all, they will reveal His passion. Christ was passionate about helping the afflicted. His passion stemmed from a compassionate spirit that He bore. Mark 1:41, the Bible says, "And being moved with compassion, He stretched forth His hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou made clean." In Mark 8, verses 1 through 3, "In those days when there was again a great multitude and they had nothing to eat, He called unto Him His disciples and said unto them, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with Me now these 3 days. Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 36, "But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion for them because they were distressed and scattered as sheep not having a shepherd." But the question is, why was Christ so compassionate about helping and providing assistance to those in need? And here's the answer. Is because Christ knew that all men were created in the image of God. Whether you're black, yellow, brown, red, purple, whatever you may be, all men were created in the likeness of God. Genesis chapter 1, 26 and 27, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness." Acts 17, 26, the Bible says, Paul stating this in his sermon, "And He made every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth." James 3 and verse number 9, "Therewith bless we the Lord and Father, and therewith we curse we men who are made after the likeness of God." Jesus genuinely loved the people of the world because He understood that we all have a bond. And this bond provided His energy to help His fellow man. And that bond that each of us has is our soul. This is what we're after. But as I stated, in James 1:27, remember that word, undefiled, no secret motives? When Jesus displayed compassion, it was not for the purpose of recognition. You've met some of those brethren. They like to parade around. "Well, I've done this. I've done that. I've given so much. I've helped the orphanage home. I've done this." Jesus said in John 5:41 that He does not receive honor from men. When Jesus did His work, He was not in search of the servant of the year award. He was not in search of a pat on the back or an attaboy, but it was driven from a deeper perspective and insight. When we allow Christ to be formed in us, our lives will second reveal His purpose. What was the purpose for Jesus eating and drinking with publicans and sinners? What was his purpose when he extended compassion to those that he came in contact with on a daily basis? What was his purpose for visiting the afflicted and dregs of society? Why did Jesus care and provide for the needy of society? Luke 4 and verse number 18 says, this was his purpose. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Recall that account in Luke chapter 17, 11 through 19, where there the Bible describes that Jesus cleanses those that were plagued with leprosy. And the Bible says in verse 12, that as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They understood that society saw them as a plague. Did Jesus scurry away from them as everyone else did? No. The Bible says that he met them and he helped them. Why did he help them? Every man is made in the image of God. Every man has a soul. And he knew that the soul of man could only be reached if genuine interest of care and concern were truly expressed. Brethren, our demeanor to the rejected, to the poor, to the lost, to the sinners will either open an endless portal of fortune or close the gates to the heart forever. Christ's ultimate purpose was changing the disposition of the individual. When we help physically, listen to this, when we help physically, this opens the doorway for spiritual enlightenment and progress. The reward we seek is that of saving a soul from death and hiding a multitude of sins. This is where other scripture comes into play. James 5 verse 19 through 20. When we help others, when we visit others, when we see someone naked and clothe them, when we visit them in prison, our main purpose in doing so is to show them that I genuinely love you. I love that I can be of assistance to you so that individual may be impressed and may be acceptable to the gospel of God. Remember the parable of the Good Samaritan, Luke chapter 10, verse 33. The Bible says that as a man was robbed, beaten, thrown to the wayside, a priest and a Levite looked at him and passed by him. You know what I liken that unto? The state of the church today. The members of the church are like that Levite and that priest who see that person in need, but just pass away. You know who is picking up the slack? Our denominations. What a sad commentary. But can we do better? You betcha. You betcha. We are commanded to show compassion. Jude 22 says, we are to make a difference by showing compassion. The third thing, very quickly, when we allow Christ to be formed in us, the third thing that we'll see, that it is personal. When we fail to give aid to others, which evinces a stolid attitude, we make it personal with the Lord. Listen to what the Bible said in Matthew chapter 25. When they asked him, when did we see thee naked? When did we see thee sick? When did we see thee in prison? He said, when you saw one of my brethren, you have done it unto me. So Jesus made it personal. How so? Listen to this. The Bible tells us that God would have all men to be saved, 1 Timothy 2:4. The message of salvation is no longer preached by the heavens, that is directly unto mankind, but the way that God preaches to people is through us. We are the carriers of the gospel, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 through 7. The way we open doors of salvation is by showing that we genuinely care and are concerned about the physical interests of the alien sinner and the fallen away brother or sister in Christ. By failing to reach the physical needs of the people, the door of spiritual opportunity disappears. When the door of spiritual opportunity vanishes, the salvation of God is impeded. And when the salvation of God is impeded, God is distraught because one of His creatures has not been afforded the opportunity to hear and possibly accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. What would have happened if Paul and Silas, after being released from the shackles of imprisonment in Acts chapter 16, cared only about themselves, their own interests, and scurried away from that situation? What if they did not show interest and concern about the Philippian jailer who was afraid of the consequences that were to come his way? He was about to kill himself. And Paul and Silas says, "Don't do it. We are still here." What would have happened if Peter carelessly ignored the beggar at the gate called Beautiful? What would have happened if the Samaritan took the attitude of the priest and the Levite, showing no compassion, no mercy to that individual? What would have happened if Jesus failed to shower this world with concern and care for all of mankind? Brethren, we have a great responsibility. And on that last and final day, we will be judged by the things that we have rendered unto our brethren and fellow man. That will be a factor. And you can bank on that. I would like to leave you with Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 3. The prophet Daniel, by inspiration, said of those faithful of God's people. And he says, "And they that are wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness shall be as the stars forever and ever." May God bless his holy word and message.